1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. And some people have probably already found it on your right, on the wall, as well as behind me. 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. We've just read 25 words. And they're 25 wonderful words. I really, really like these words. I love this verse. I know Daryl and I used to work with a guy, and if you told him about something, some kind of a food, whatever it was, he would say, oh, that is my favorite. Well, he might have 10 favorites in a week. You never know. He had a lot of different things, and he would call them all his favorite. Well, sometimes Bible verses can be that way. And I'm not saying this is my favorite, because this is not the verse that I was saved through. But this is a verse how I can see that you could be saved through. You could be saved through this verse tonight. Just 25 words from God. You say, why do you know that you could be saved, that I could be saved through these words? Because it says right here it's worthy of all acceptation. It's worthy for all to accept it. Now, if somehow I said to you, the dairy bar down there in Sonny's down there in St. Eleanor's is open. And it is open. We stopped for an ice cream the other day. My daughter wanted to, and it's open. It's probably pricey, but ice cream is good, especially this time of year. And I said, Sonny's is open. And I want everyone to come to Sonny's. Now, don't go there after a meeting, because I'm just saying, hypothetically speaking. But if I said, I want everyone to come, and we'll treat you to an ice cream, I'll say Brody's buying, but we're going to treat everyone to an ice cream at Sonny's. That, in a sense, is an invitation. It's kind of putting myself out there, and I'm giving you a word that I would buy you an ice cream. Now, don't make the mistake of going, because, again, we're just reasoning here, just illustrating. I would love to do that for you, but... And I can see Robert over there, and he think, well, my wife's home. I wonder if he meant me or not. Do you think he really meant me? And he says, well, Eddie, we're traveling together, so my brother Eddie, did he mean him? Should I say something to Eddie? Should I go get the ice cream? You see, it all comes back to what I said. And you would begin to think, now what exactly did he say? How did he say that? Did he seem sincere? Did he really mean that he would buy us an ice cream? And if there was a delegation got together and two or three of your friends and you came to said, we're spokespeople for the rest, we wondered, did you really mean we want you all to come to Sonny's for an ice cream? And I said, yes, I said it, and it's worthy for all to accept. Now, I know your mouths are all watering now. There'd be an exodus of cars going heading east after the meeting. And I say, no, I mean for all. I want everyone to come. I want everyone to accept. I promise you, I will buy you an ice cream. Now, we're not talking about ice cream. But we've been hearing about being lost, a sheep that was lost, and a coin that was lost, and a shepherd that was looking, and when he found it, he picked it up, put it on his shoulders, and he carried it home rejoicing. And we heard about a coin that was lost. It had value. And there was a woman with a light representing the Spirit of God, and that coin was found, picked up, and put into circulation again. Now, I'm giving you kind of the other side of the message tonight, where Brother Brody has been reminding us of what we are, a lost sheep and a lost coin. And God is looking for us. God wants to save us. God wants to save us from our lost condition. Now, I want to tell you tonight why you can know God wants to save you. He says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Worthy for all to accept that Christ Jesus came into the world to save good people. No, that's not what it says. Came into the world to save everyone who was over the age of 50. No, that's not what it says. Christ Jesus came into the world to save people that live in Camelton. No, that's not what it says. It says this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Sinners. You say, well, what does it mean to be a sinner? Well, really, technically, the word here, it's speaking about those who have erred. They have been, they've been given a mark to hit, if you will, and they've missed it. One of my daughters went through quite a stage where she wanted to learn the bow and arrow, archery. And she had a little bow and arrow, and I think I actually made some more arrows, I forget. But anyway, she was going around, and I went through a stage of that as well. My brother-in-law, Ira, he showed me how to make a bow out of a green alder, and fishing twine for a string, I think it was, and made some other little pointy arrows and put nails in the end, and I would practice with that thing, but I never really could hit the mark. I was never really very good, and I can't even remember how good my daughter was with her bow and arrow, but she would spend hours practicing out in the trees and out behind our yard, and I know there was an imaginary world, but she would line it up, and she would try her best stance and the best form possible and holding and pulling the drawstring, and then you would let it go, and you would see if the wind didn't carry it off. And if the arrow went true and if the feathers weren't all on the back end of the arrow, weren't all rumpled and twisted, that would guide it true. And more often than not, you miss the mark. You might come close. And maybe someone else with skill and a better bow could come closer. But you know what this is saying? Is that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, those who have been given a mark to hit, and we've missed it. Now, we're not talking about an actual bullseye now or a paper target or something like that. But God has given us the mark in the Bible. He's told us what we should be as human beings. He's told us how we should live as human beings. He's told us how we should love God as human beings. He's told us how we should love each other as human beings. He's told us that we should never tell a lie. Ooh. Who hasn't told a lie at some point? Everyone has. It's told us we should never steal, take something that doesn't belong to us. And we begin doing that very young. And our parents, and as parents, we have to work very hard to teach our children that that is wrong, so that they don't grow up stealing all the time. It's a mark to hit. It's a moral mark of right and wrong. And God has told us exactly where the line is between right and wrong. And we aim for it. And we are taught by our parents to aim for it. And we're taught by religious leaders to reach for it. And Sunday school teachers and teachers and all different people show us and teach us what the mark is and how to hit it. And yet, we all miss the mark. That's what it means to be a sinner. We are missing the mark of right in the sight of God. So I wonder tonight as I'm looking at my audience and I'm quoting this verse here, 25 words, the faithful saying, and it's worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It's the same thing as being lost. I wonder if there's anyone here that's a sinner. I'm not saying how bad or what the sins are, but is there anyone tonight that this verse applies to? Because if you got down on your knees tonight with the Bible, you would have to admit, I'm a sinner. You know what the Bible says? That everyone has sinned. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So this is worthy of all acceptation. It's worthy for all to accept. Because just like, now I know there might be some people here tonight that could need ice cream because you're lactose intolerant or something like that. But most of us enjoy the taste of ice cream. So there's something that would intrigue us about an invitation to ice cream or some other thing like that. But when it comes to this, I wonder if there's something intriguing in the minds of my listeners tonight. Because it says Christ Jesus came to save sinners. And you have to admit, I'm a sinner. I am a sinner. You know what the truth about sinners is? It's not the number of sins they've committed or how bad they are. God's not so much concerned. He has a list of all that. But he's not so much concerned tonight with the number of sins or how bad the sins are because we don't even understand how bad sins are in the sight of God. But what God is concerned about is that across the board, without exception, sinners have a universal need. Sinners need to be saved. Just like the sheep needs to be found, he'll never find his way home. Just like the coin has been lost and it cannot be found on its own. The Bible illustrates for us that sinners need to be saved. We need water. We need to breathe. Those are basic needs. But the Lord Jesus said to a man who was religious, he said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be saved. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says that we must be saved. It's not up for negotiation. It's just something the Bible says, period. A basic need for all humanity because all have sinned, all need to be saved. So this should have intrigued. This should have a draw tonight because it's a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And you shouldn't have to wonder tonight if this message applies to you. Because the Bible says it applies to sinners. Sinners need to be saved. And this story that we find in this message about the Lord Jesus is that he came to save sinners. So worthy of all acceptation because its core message is that Christ came to save sinners. So that's an interesting point in itself, that he came to save sinners. It should draw me in. It should intrigue me. It should interest me. But then we've been talking about the big picture and how all have sinned, and we've kind of alluded to it, but I just want to underline this. The Apostle Paul who wrote this, he said, of whom I am chief. And he said, I know all sinners need to be saved. He's the one who wrote that from God, Romans 3:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 1 Timothy, or in this very passage, this very book that we have read from, chapter 2 and verse 4, it says that God will have all of humanity to be saved. But Paul said, when I was saved, I wasn't so much thinking about everybody else. He said, I was concerned about me, of whom I am a chief. of sinners. Yes, others need to be saved, but I understood it's a very personal need. It's me. It's me. You know, we were talking again in the first part of the meeting, our brother Brody was, about one sheep. There were 99 in a story of the Bible, sheep that were not lost. Well, they were in the wilderness. They needed the shepherd, but they didn't recognize it. But what was the difference with the sheep that we heard is that it wandered away and it was all by itself and it was in danger and it came. There came a point in its experience, simple as that little sheep might be, it illustrates a sinner. There came a point when it understood this: I am lost and I cannot find my way back. I'm in danger and I'm going to die. And it stopped running from the shepherd. And the shepherd was able to find it. So if the Lord Jesus came to save sinners, and all have sinned, so that incriminates me, because I'm a sinner too, what about boiling it right down and taking it individually tonight, this verse? Christ Jesus came into the world to save me because I'm lost. I'm a sinner. I'm a lost sheep. I've wandered from God's path. I'm a lost coin. I have value to God, but I haven't the foggiest idea or any strength to get up into the hands of God. You see, anyone that's going to be saved, they will only ever be saved because God saves them. And that's why Christ Jesus came. But God knows your heart. He knows that you have sinned, and He knows whether you want to be saved or not. He knows whether you agree with Him or not, that I am a sinner, that it's talking about me, that Christ Jesus came for me. You see, God knows everything that's going on in our minds at any given point. You know, sometimes my wife and I have been married for 30 and a half years or so. And there are times when she can make a really good guess at what I'm thinking. And she's not usually wrong. And sometimes I can catch it with her as well. Just, we've been together for a long time. She can guess at what I'm thinking. And sometimes we may guess at what our audience is thinking, but none of us really know. And sometimes we ask questions to our audience so that we could better understand what they are thinking and where they are and how we can help them from the Bible. But the bottom line is this: there is absolutely no one in this world, regardless of how close we are, who knows exactly what you're thinking and what's in your heart but God. But make no mistake, He knows what's in your heart. He knows what you're thinking. He knows whether you appreciate the truth that Christ Jesus came to save sinners. He knows whether you agree with Him that He says you need to be saved. And He knows whether you say, yes, God's right, I need to be saved. I'm a sinner. I'm lost. God knows all that. Right here and now in this meeting, He knows the thoughts and what you're processing. The words that we're giving you from the Bible, God is watching and listening to how you process the words you are receiving from Him. Because this is not the audible voice of God speaking in this meeting. We are speaking. That's the voice you hear. But this is the written Word of God. And He gave it to us so we would understand it. And that's why it says, this is a faithful saying. Because not only is there the truth that it's for sinners, and that should interest me because all have sinned. And the fact that I am a sinner, and I know it, my own conscience tells me that, and the Bible tells me that. But the message is worthy of all acceptation because it's absolutely trustworthy. It's God's Word. You know, there is no book that you can trust like the Bible. Sometimes people think that Christians are very gullible. They believe the Bible because they're gullible people. But this book stands on a 100% firm foundation. People say, well, it was written by men, different men from Well, true, God gave them the words to write, and it was in other languages than the English or the versions of things that we talk, the languages we talk. Sure, that is all true, but does that mean we can't trust the Bible? Does that mean that somehow people come in and manipulated the words that God gave for them to write, and somehow we can't trust it, and you have to be gullible to believe the Bible? No. Do you know that while we may not have the original manuscripts of the people who actually wrote with pen, there were people called scribes that copied painstakingly the Bible from one copy to the next, to the next, to the next, before there were printing presses. And they did it with the mistakes that they have made are so small and so puny. And God has allowed us to know this. They didn't make mistakes because the Bible that we have rests on over 24,000 ancient manuscripts from all over the ancient world, so that you can take a manuscript that was found here, copied by scribes, and you can take another manuscript from over another part of the world, copied by scribes, and you can take that and put it against that and compare it. And people that are scholars have done so and discovered this. It's accurate. You can trust it. Secondly, you can trust it because the people who wrote it, they were eyewitnesses of the things they wrote about. They got it firsthand from God. You might say, well, it was a popular thing to do. It made them famous, didn't it? I mean, John the Apostle, is he not famous? Paul, is he not famous? Paul gave his life for what he believed and wrote. Would you do that? Or would you say, I guess this isn't too popular, so I better not say it. I better not write it. No, that's not how they saw it. First hand from God, and they said, we have to write it. John was, they say, history tells us, was boiled in oil, and then he was exiled because of what he believed and what he got from God. They were eyewitnesses, and they gave their life, many of them, because they so believed in this message. It's an amazing thing that the Bible has been given to us and we can trust the Bible. You don't have to be gullible to believe the Bible. And even if you were just to come to the first century after the Bible was written and the manuscripts were all there and you just listen, if we could step back in time to the first century and listen in the first couple of hundred years to the men that preached and quoted, that had heard the Lord and seen the Lord and talked to the Pauls and the Johns, do you know that you could reconstruct from their writings almost the entire New Testament by the things they said? I want to tell you that tonight, you don't have to be gullible to believe the Bible. You have to be gullible to believe people who say the Bible's not accurate. The Bible is the standard. The Bible is true. And when it says this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, you can accept what the Bible says because God has given us an accurate written account that He wants us to know, and you can trust the Bible. So it's worthy of all acceptation because all have sinned, and that means we all need to be saved. And it's worthy of all acceptation because I'm a sinner, and I know it, my own conscience tells me. And it's worthy of all acceptation because the Bible is an accurate, written word from God that I can trust. But this is the best part. This is the best part. It's worthy of all acceptation because at the very center of this message, there is a man that you can trust. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. There's no one like Him. No one ever lived like Him. No one was ever born like Him. No one ever talked like Him. No one ever worked like Him. No one ever did miracles like Him. No one ever loved fellow humanity like Him. No one ever died like Him. No one ever suffered like Him. In every way, He is absolutely unique, and He stands as the only man who ever walked upon earth, who is eternally from heaven, the Son of God. There's no one else like Him. And He came from heaven and lived on earth and suffered and died for one reason, to save sinners. And God says in His written word, you can trust Him. You can accept Him. He can save sinners. Do you know one of the reasons I know He can save you because he not only left heaven and came here, born, lived, suffered, and died. He went back to heaven. He was raised again and went back into heaven. And the fact that God accepted him in heaven tells me this. God is satisfied with what Christ has done. And you can trust him too, because God does. It's quite simple that you cannot save yourself and we cannot save you, but Christ Jesus came for this purpose alone, to save you. And he died for our sins. He's the shepherd who looks for the sheep. And by the Spirit of God tonight, the Spirit of God searching like a woman with a light. And you know, there's an interesting, just as I close, an interesting few verses in Hebrews chapter 6. And I think it's like verses 16, 17, 18 along there. You know what it tells us? There are those who have fled for refuge. They have fled for refuge. They understand we need to be saved, and they fled to God for refuge. You know what that passage tells us? It tells us that we can be assured of salvation and refuge by a God who cannot lie. And we can be assured of refuge by a Savior who cannot fail. Even Jesus, who has gone in, and he's a forerunner. Because he has gone in, he can take you in. And one day, he's coming back, and everyone who has trusted him, everyone who is saved, everyone who has been found, that they were once lost, now they're found, he will take them in with him to heaven. See why this is one of my favorite verses and why you can accept its truth tonight. It's worthy of all acceptation. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul said, just like you can say, of whom I am chief. I needed it. He came to save me. Trust him, and you'll be saved. Shall we pray? Father, we give thanks for thy Son. We appreciate the value of these words. Just 25 words, and yet the truth that they contain are so amazing, it almost seems like we could never fathom the depth of the truth that is actually there. No matter how many times we read it, how we study it, how we think about it, it always never ceases to amaze us at the truth that is contained in it. And yet it can be received so simply that I'm a sinner and he came to save me, and how much we appreciate that. We would look to thee that someone will take in the message tonight and accept it for themselves, that Christ Jesus came to save sinners. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.